Hello and welcome to another episode of Higher Education. As always, I'm your host, well, one of your hosts, Jake Dukowski. With me, as always, Owen Belfiore.
Hi.
Mason Dowd.
Hi.
And this week we are not joined by Adam Chaplin. He was too busy. We were going to do a bit about how this movie was so terrible that it made him kill himself. But we ended up, I don't think that this movie is actually so bad that you would contemplate suicide. So we're going to scrap that bit. I do apologize to my castmates, but I think that a better bit would just be to say he didn't want to watch this movie because admittedly, it sounds like one of the worst pieces of shit ever made.
It wasn't great.
It wasn't, yeah.
And Jake, rehearsal for NPR?
Yeah, it was an NPR. Thank you. I'm glad you understood what I was going
to say. But you're trying out for NPR. You're going to send them that and be like...
Well, I'm going to send them the whole podcast and I'm going to be like, so I can do both, right? I can be like you normally would have, but then I can be like... Like, I can be like the Joe Rogan of NPR. You know? Like, I could do Fear Factor on the radio. You know,
You could do Fear Factor on the... Okay, so this week we watched The Kissing Booth 2, and it has mixed feelings.
Yeah. It was a piece of shit, but, I've taken shits that were, like, enjoyable to take. You're like, okay, I just gotta get it over with, so I might as well do it. And then, like, as, like, you get towards the end of it, you're like, okay, like, I appreciate the fact that I'm getting this over with, you know?
I guess. I think a lot of it was sometimes.
Okay, but the beginning's not good.
Have you ever watched
That's
a movie...
That's what's bizarre, yeah.
It's kind of like, have you ever watched a movie where it's so bad that, like, some part of you gets invested? Like...
I was super invested in the characters.
It started with us being ironically invested in certain characters that turned into investment in the movie.
Well, there was one character that, like, from the beginning we enjoyed, and that's Rachel.
Owen is a Rachel simp.
Guys, I am a Rachel simp.
At least he's proud of it.
What's the actress's name?
Oh, my gosh.
She's 30 years old.
She's 30. She's the oldest cast member.
Maybe that's a little old for you, but like...
He's 19. You can go for it.
You could slide.
It's legal.
Thanks, bro. Thanks,
you
guys.
I trust you. You can do it.
Only 11 age. I'm sure she'll listen to this podcast.
Rachel?
If the girl who played Rachel is listening, could you please be on our podcast so Owen can talk to you?
Dude, yeah. That would be so funny. He'd be like... He'd be fucking sitting here and he'd be like, so what did you like about working... on the movie The Kissing Booth? And what did you like? How is working on the sequel different than the first one?
Jake, you and I both know that the one thing we would ask is about that line in the first movie. That decision.
We were talking about this in the first one. And there's... So Rachel does nothing in the first one. She's literally not a character. Like, her name is said once.
Right.
And one of the only things she does, other than, like, start dating Lee and be there in the background of scenes... She has like four lines of dialogue, and two of them are, wait, L, come back, and she runs after L. And Owen and I are convinced, this is in the first movie, Owen and I are convinced that she like planned out, she's gonna improvise that. Like that wasn't in the script. And like on the day of, she's like, I'm gonna do it. And she does it, and the director's like, cut! You weren't supposed to say that. And he's like, you know what?
The budget's too tight.
Move on to the next scene. We need more shots of the teenagers kissing.
With blindfolds on.
Yeah, that's right.
In my head, the girl that played Rachel, who got this part, went home to whoever, her friends or family or whatever, and was like really contemplating this. Like
she's like, should I do it? I feel like there's not enough to warrant me getting a contract renewal for the sequel. And I feel like if I throw this line in, they'll have no choice but to be like, okay, her and Rachel are friends. She has to come back for the
And you know what? She did it, and she had a big part.
She was enjoyable.
Hey, actress who plays Rachel,
stop
we don't
calling
know
her
your
out.
Name.
Great
Good job.
Job. Great
you
job.
You made a big swing.
We liked you.
You made a big swing, and it worked. You got Moxie, kid.
Did you just say that? She's 30. So, do not it's, call
it's,
her
it's
kid.
Like, it's like... so her kid...
Owen, so she's Owen's. Over all the characters. She's pretty much Owen's type, though.
What?
She's got dark hair.
The opening scene of the movie is in the whole movie. There's kind of like two plots. There's her and Lee, who is she's Elle, the main character. She's still dating Noah, who goes to Harvard, and she like loves him. She thinks he's cheating on her. You get the gist. Character goes off to college. It's a classic sequel trope. But then the other plot is she wants to enter like a Dance Revolution competition
to get money to go to college with them.
$50,000 to go to college. And Lee is her dance partner. Mm-hmm. But Rachel is like, you spend all your fucking time with a different girl. You don't love me. And so Lee is like, okay, I'll let her know. He never lets her know, but he sticks a different guy named Marco, who's like the new hot talk of the town, and is just like, you do the dance competition, finger guns. And so then they like do the whole fall in love shit, but then she's like, no, I love Noah. And it was all big. The plot's so basic, but the opening scene is like the whole.
What was the opening
Lee
scene?
Lee and Rachel. She's going to school, and Lee shows up to pick her up, and then she sits in the front seat. And when she leaves, we see her dad. Her dad has very little screen time. Her dad,
he looks like
he's on alt-right message boards, but like also doesn't know how to use a computer.
Guys.
Like, let's talk about some political spectrum.
It's not that he looks like it. We're pretty positive.
Like there were some lines
we're
cut.
We're almost certain that...
I don't know what the actor is, but the character, 100% yes. is like that stoic dad who, like, doesn't talk much at Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
But when he does, he
blurts out something bad.
He's like, did you hear that Hillary Clinton was executed in a federal prison by a secret tribunal jury? The cabal's day is coming. Follow Q.
He's like, he'd be the kind to go off about socialism and be really upset about the election.
There's like a younger brother. Elle has a younger brother, and he, and like the dad, is definitely grooming that kid to assassinate David Hogg. He's like David Hogg in these. Now listen, boy, you see that man? It's David Hogg. He's coming for guns. He's an Antifa terrorist who hates this country and hates the Constitution. And I don't believe killing is right. But when they're coming for what is right, and I'm talking about guns and white people, well, you know what I mean. All lives matter.
Oh my god.
You guys get what I'm doing here.
So this is Jake's audition podcast. That was him auditioning
for the Daily Show.
That was for the Daily Show. Brilliant.
Cheers.
Good
to
job.
Me,
yeah.
We're really job. Thinking way too hard Jake, into some you, of these characters.
Yeah, we had fun with the alt-right dad.
Like, yeah, he's like barely in the movie, but Jake, every time he would come on screen, which was like
stage.
3 times, I would be like, that guy looks like he's like 30 seconds from calling the other character the N-word. Or at least being like, you know, Chloe, you're one of the good ones.
You came over right.
Jesus
yeah,
Christ.
You immigrated to this country.
Oh,
the right
my God,
way.
I forgot about that scene.
She's African-American.
He looked at Marco such a dirty way whenever he
yeah,
saw them together.
He looked
yeah,
at
we
the
all,
one.
We
wait,
all
wait,
know.
Wait, wait, wait. We have to say what we said.
We all know
we're
why.
Saying, where we think if she would have brought Marco home, the dad would have asked Elle if Marco wasn't illegal.
Yeah. Because he would have. He'd be like, now, Marco, did you come in this country the right way?
And Marco would probably be like, I'm in a private school in L.A.
For reference, this character probably has like 5 lines in the movie at most. We're just insinuating this.
No, but like that scene where he's talking to Elle and he's like, we don't have enough money to send you to a more expensive school.
Than UC Berkeley.
I do want to mention this, and I don't want to get like too bogged down into the numbers here. And this was something that you were annoyed with, Jake. Was like, she wants to win this competition for $50,000 so that she can go to Harvard. What is that? Like, maybe a semester at Harvard? That probably doesn't cover us.
$50,000 is a lot of money, Owen.
But I'm not saying it's not a lot of money. I'm saying, for people that are going to Harvard,
hang on. Once you're, like, at the school, you know, once you're at the school, it's kind of like it's much easier to get financial aid, I feel.
I guess,
but
I don't know.
Like, once you're there, they want you to graduate.
How well do you think Harvard gives financial aid? Like, don't you think she would be swimming in student loans?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Well, they're all going to be swimming in student loans. That's the society we live in. Yeah,
everyone swims in student loans. Get used to it, ladies.
I feel like we've done nothing to explain the plot of the movie, and I just killed a bit about how the dad is a Nazi or something.
The plot's not important. Who cares about the plot?
We really went in on the alt-right dad bit.
Yeah, we were supposed to space it out and do it every once in a while, and I just fucking went with it in the first 5 minutes. You know what I think it's time for? Hit me with that Owen's Note Nook. Every week we're supposed to take notes, but no one ever does except for Owen. Now it's time for him to read through those notes. It's Owen's Note.
Hi guys, welcome to Owen's Note Nook.
I'm uncomfortable already.
Good. Okay, so let's read some notes. I had that she is casually riding a motorcycle, as in like.
Yeah, she never. Well, wait. No, the opening scene. I think it's insinuating that she learns. Let's explain the opening shot of the movie.
It's the last shot of the last.
It's the last shot of the previous movie.
But they explain the plot of the last movie. Yeah, they explain the last 5 minutes of the last movie.
Wait, she goes. So. It's right where I left this off. I bet you have a lot of questions on what's happened since then. I'm like, nothing's happened since then. This is the exact same shot. Like, if you watch these movies back to back, it's literally...
It's just a continuation. Flawless change.
Like, how, like the Last Jedi flows in perfectly because she hands him the lightsaber and then he fucking chucks it over his shoulder. This is that same kind of, like, they flow together, like, the same day.
Sure.
But then she explains the last 20 minutes of the last movie.
Which is dumb. Like,
yeah. I mean, I was just curious. Like, to me, it's like just casually knowing how to ride a bike or a motorcycle is crazy.
It's also really illegal.
Okay, but he taught her last summer.
She still wouldn't have a license.
Okay.
Yeah. They also, by the way, they started a video game podcast, you guys.
Yeah, they started a podcast, and I appreciate the fact that she, like, the counselor, like, thinks she's an influencer. And he's like, oh, you have 37,000 subscribers? And she's like, 37 subscribers.
Hey, guys.
Now, what I will
say
is let's get
the 37.
If you know anything about podcasts and how they work, it's follows, not subscriptions.
Yeah,
I
Owen didn't know that.
I will let that slide, but... Because Owen made that mistake in episode 2 when we reviewed Road Trip.
Yeah.
But we do have to acknowledge the fact that the movie got something wrong. And I think I have to dock it points for that.
You're so pretentious.
Like, as a podcaster, I take shit like that pretty seriously.
I'm going to cry.
You know? Like.
Yeah, Jake, I think we can respect that.
Yeah, thank you, Owen.
Yes. I just think that, like, there's a lot that makes this movie phenomenal. But we have to, you know, dock it major on the podcasting inaccuracy.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I think that's where this movie goes wrong.
Something that I like about this movie is that none of the characters, it's set in the summer or in like 2020, none of the characters are wearing masks because all the characters know it's liberal propaganda. It's all orchestrated to hurt the red states and destroy President Trump's re-election chances.
Do you want to just hang on?
Dude, we can't. I'm going somewhere with this. They're in liberal California, so the Californian government and the deep state they tell all the people, they're like, you don't have to wear a mask. It's a lie. We made it up to hurt the president. If you go to Texas, you have to put a mask on because the crooked governors want Donald Trump to look bad.
Jake, you're going to make people think that we have a Republican podcast.
Our state, Pennsylvania.
Jake,
Tom Wolf.
Shut up.
Jake, this bit's dead, bro. This bit's dead, bro.
I'm gonna die.
I will say, with all respect, my right as an American to not wear a mask. That's all I'm saying. I don't put a muzzle on you, Owen.
Hey, this is a disclaimer. Everybody out there, please wear a mask.
If you don't listen wear a mask, science. Don't listen to Jake. He's don't a really wear, stupid don't college wear
a
mask. Kid.
It's a liberal myth meant to destroy the president.
You guys are so stupid.
Although I will say, with all seriousness and joking aside, I did turn to Jake and I was like, what if this does take place in 2020 and all of them are fine going to the beach because the dad is like, yeah, go to the beach.
Go to the beach. I saw on the internet that Dr. Fauci is making the masks you up. Need to stop. He has shares in a Chinese company that makes the masks.
Jake.
I have the dad. Okay, the dad is really into Pizzagate. We agreed. And
I told
dad,
you that during the movie. Yeah. The dad's into
Pizzagate. He's like, Hillary Clinton and John Podesta have a secret way of communicating via email. Hey, dipshit, they call each other to say that.
The dad is a very grown-up, successful version of someone we know.
The dad was definitely, like, when the guy shot up that pizza restaurant that he thought was because of the, was connected to, like, child sex trafficking, the dad was definitely the third guy that ended up no-showing because he was like, oh, shit, whoever, my daughter's building a fucking kissing booth. Guys, I gotta go help her with this
guys,
shit.
Guys.
It's okay, I can make that joke because nobody was hurt.
Guys.
The kissing booth. What?
Whoever's listening to this podcast and either is going to go watch this movie or has already watched this movie, he's going to be like, What the fuck? Like,
what did you watch?
He's alt-right. You cannot look me in the eye and be like, that, the dad, no. The dad, oh, he's a Pete Buttigieg supporter. No. You know for a fact, like, oh, yeah, look at him. He's a fucking, he's pumped for Kamala Harris, dude.
Oh, God.
Let's get back to Owen's
note. Yeah, Owen, read your next note.
Yeah, I had that, the mothers plan their pregnancies.
Yeah, in the first movie, I just assumed that the moms met and I think that's what they originally, the plan was that they met giving birth.
They knew each other before.
But they knew each other
and
before.
And they made sure that they had children
so
at the same time.
So they planned their pregnancies. They were such good of friends that they planned their pregnancies.
Which isn't that uncomfortable.
No, but it's, did they both like get...
You're reading into this, and I need you to stop.
To a T, you know? Exactly. That's
they were like,
tonight's night, guys.
Were in the same room? Was it like an accident? Like, they both, like, the moms have both gone out drinking one night, and that's what happened?
In my mind,
they can't do that together.
It was all coordinated, like, in the same room.
No, not in the same room, but, like, in the same house.
In Owen's mind, they had, like, a chart with the cycle.
Yeah, they were like, okay, so you're going to be... Okay, this is the right night to do it.
We're both ovulating at this time.
They had a...
I don't think you can say that word.
Why can't you say the word ovulating?
I don't know. It sounds wrong when the guy says it. You can't look me... Like, what? I call right now and just be like... Ovulating. She's gonna be like, what the fuck? You can't say that.
I'm not gonna call.
That's our
I'm
word.
Not gonna call. What?
You know? That's like a word. No! That's like a word for girls only.
Oh my god.
That came out sounding wrong.
No, you can. I can say the word ovulating.
Yeah.
I feel
I don't
like
know if you can say that on a podcast, though.
Fine, cut it out if you want to.
No, I'm not gonna cut it.
Because ovulating is not a bad word.
These freaking liberals. The PC police.
The PC police over here.
Trying to censor you saying
ovulating.
They don't want me to say my favorite word.
The PC police not really out for this movie anymore.
No, this movie was surprisingly okay. And they stopped over-sexualizing Elle in this movie.
I mean,
and I appreciate
that. She still has like the cleavage shirts on, but it's like not...
A girl in a movie can be wearing something that is revealing and whatnot, and there's nothing wrong with that.
For sure.
But when they're glorifying a teenage girl's body, and then they're also
when they're supposed to be underage,
taking sexual assault and making light of it, that's when we're having legitimate.
And
issues.
We have to give this movie massive props for not having
sexual
assault.
We do not have to give it props for not having sexual assault.
Well, compared to the other shit that we've watched,
that's like being like, hey, you didn't murder somebody today, Mason. Good job. Like, I don't know.
Okay, we've watched some bad movies. This didn't have
that's
that.
Okay, let's continue.
I'm comparing
the other
movies.
What else here was worthy of.
What does that even say?
The line, I don't want space, I want you.
Yeah. I wrote that one down. I thought that was a good line.
Oh, Lee does...
Not, not
Lee smokes a lollipop.
Yeah, Lee does the thing they do where they give like a underage character in like a teenage movie a lollipop or like a toothpick to make it look like he's smoking, but he's not because they obviously can't show that because that would corrupt the kid's youth.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
You know what's weird?
I'm not sure if you guys know this.
Hold on. You have two things.
But they originally wanted Timothy Chalamet
for Marco.
Oh, yeah.
No, they didn't actually, but I think they did. Like, he has that, like, quirky, like every line, every time he, like, makes a joke, I could picture Timothy Chalamet, like, doing his weird, laugh, you know? Like if Seth Rogen was on estrogen, that's Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
No, that's what it is.
Moving on, I'm looking at Owen's note nook right now.
I have justice and for Rachel.
Yeah, emphasize how much he's simping right now.
Dude, he wrote a lot of
notes. There's Rachel written at the top with 3 exclamation points. He's very much simping.
I said... It was just this. Rachel was in a bad relationship, and you know what? I said emotional affairs. I felt like there was plenty of emotional affairs in this movie.
Yeah, there's a girl at college that Noah is like friends with, and she's older, more experienced, English accent. She's the stereotypical, I don't know how to say this, but...
She's like, her name's Chloe, and she's like, stereotypical Harvard perfect girl, right? Like, that's kind of like...
That's a good way to put it, yeah.
Yeah, But in an off-the-cuff way, like, she's not... Like, she's a Harvard perfect girl, but she's not a goody-two-shoes.
Yeah, exactly. You know? It's like, oh, she's mysterious, interesting, and super cool.
Do you guys want to talk about the section where they go to Boston... Because there's a lot of weird stuff. Like, from the perspective of college movement, college students, there's a lot of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, first of all, I appreciate the fact that they went to, like, actual Boston to film this.
Which is cool.
That's cool. You know, they went outside Fenway. It's pretty obvious, though, that the producers sent Noah, L, and one camera guy to Boston for a day. And, like, the two stars, like, hung out all day, and the camera guy just had to, like, awkwardly film them.
Yeah, that was pretty obvious.
They went to some fancy stuff. Well, they went to a very fancy restaurant. And yeah, I don't know about you guys.
They go to, like, a really... Now, they are Harvard kids, so they got that coin, you know. Cash rules everything around.
Okay, yeah, but whenever we went out at college... Like, the fancy thing was, I'd go to Primanti's, and that would be, like, my nicest meal. They went to, like, a 5-star restaurant and got wine.
Fucking, we always do the bit at Point Park where we're like, oh, let's go, when you walk by the Capitol Grill, you're always like, that's where we're going. Yeah. You know? We're like, when we finish finals, that's where we're going. And then you end up fucking getting drunk and playing Xbox, and you're like, I cannot fucking afford to go to the Capitol Grill. Have you seen that? They don't know the prices on the menu.
No, they don't.
You just pay the bill when it gets there because that's who that's for.
It's for people that don't care about money.
Oh, while we're talking about Harvard, there was a pamphlet that said how to apply to Harvard.
You know what's really funny?
And it was really funny because it just looked like someone in props was like...
Because Lee finds it later because every movie has a scene where Lee finds out that
that she applied to Harvard.
Lying to her. Like, in the first one, he finds out that she's dating Noah. And he gets really... The music stops, and then it gets really sad. And he's like...
How dare you not go...
He doesn't say anything, but his eyes say everything.
No, he does say something. He goes like, what rule was it? He's like, rule 18.
It's always a fucking rule.
Rule 18. Go to school with your best friend. How dare you not go to college and make your college decision based off of another individual's decision.
A list that we made when we were fucking 11, dude.
They were like 6. It's even worse.
I also have here that this was... The original one was written by a 15-year-old.
And you can tell that this one
wasn't. And you can tell that this one wasn't. But when you're watching these movies, you can definitely see, like, oh, this was written by a 15-year-old and then adapted by people that are, like, 50 years old. Like, there's, like, a 40-year age gap.
Both ways.
Both ways.
There's a significant age divide between the content that's going out and the content that's, like,
yeah,
flowing through the script.
It's like they had a bunch of people working on this script they had a bunch of people working on the script and none of them being the appropriate age.
When they're at, yeah, when they're at Harvard, Noah takes L out with like his guy friends. They're all law students. And the guy's like,
please
well,
go off.
The thing, and it's like the most like nondescript, like legal, political bullshit. He's like, the thing about Citizens United was that the decision really changed the way that like briefings are filed in a nondescript judiciary setting.
That's not what that case was at all. Look, Citizens United was a classic example of judicial activism, right?
It was basically a complicated way to say literally fucking nothing.
Yeah, yeah. It's the epitome of a Harvard case.
It's the saying a lot by saying nothing at all.
And you know what? I'm gonna say, was this movie too afraid to take a stance on Citizens United?
Yeah, it was. Yes. I agree.
It absolutely was.
I agree completely. I feel like the writers and the actor who delivered that line were both very like anti the decision, but like a Netflix producer stepped in and was like, hey man, like
let's not make this political.
We get funding from Monsanto, you know.
Let's make this as
he's like, we put toys in Happy Meals, like we can't put this line in the movie. And the writers like kind of push back. They're like, hey man, like he's a 20-something college student. That's the opinion he would have. And then the producer,
he's like, wait, there's a way another, we can do this that makes everybody happy.
And then
he'll say nothing.
It was trying to make him sound smart to 14.
And he didn't sound
like a 14-year-old is like, I've heard, Citizens United. I've heard about that. I think on when my dad was watching Fox or like judiciary. I've heard that in my history classroom, but not teaching.
Yeah, meanwhile,
really
if someone came up to you and said that, you'd be like,
you'd
what
be
the
like,
fuck
that's
are you
the
saying?
Dumbest shit
what
I've
are
ever
you
heard.
Doing?
Like,
what are
yes,
you doing?
Yes, you're right. The Citizens
Where'd your head go?
The Citizens United decision had an effect on the judiciary system. It's a Supreme Court case.
You can say that about anything.
Hey, shitbird. Like, what the fuck? Like, literally every Supreme Court case has an effect on the judiciary system. That's the point of the Supreme Court.
But the constituency of the people that are watching this movie, including people our age and above, don't know what Citizens United is.
No, they don't. That's why they get away
with it. Anyone our age is like, I think that's the bank that my dad uses.
That's so
funny.
Sometimes
I use his credit card and it says...
No, if you this poli sci class.
I'm leaping that.
You know.
The Citizens United decision was a bad one. You always would say, money doesn't buy elections.
It does.
Yeah, it does.
No, it can't.
Yes, it can.
That sounds like communist Marxist propaganda.
Jay,
that the
up,
Democratic
Jay.
Party is peddling
Jay,
to turn this great nation into a police state.
People
what
are going to
you
think you're a Republican.
What you guys don't realize is that Dr. Fauci and the fake news media...
It's Fauci.
And the corrupt...
It's Fauci.
The
no,
corrupt
hold on. I got to stop
liberals,
you right here.
Jake, it's Fauci. It's Fauci.
What the hell? What else did you say earlier today? You mentioned someone's name and I was like...
Dr. Fauci.
It was Fauci.
It's Fauci.
Fauci, you dumb piece of shit.
So would you guys buy your girlfriend the Dr. Fauci underwear?
Okay, let's move on.
It's
I can't.
Underwear that just says Fauci
no.
on it. And, like,
Jake,
you
gotta stop. I can't listen to this anymore.
Because of Dr. Fauci. Like, imagine... Okay, Owen, you're the only single one, so I'll use you as the example. Imagine you're at a good old Wooster and
yeah,
and you take a girl home,
uh-huh,
and it's getting really heated and yeah, she's like kissing your neck,
yeah,
and she pulls her pants down and she is wearing woman's underwear that says Dr. Fauci on it. No picture, no nothing, just Dr. Fauci. What do you do?
I don't think I'd mention anything. Like really? Like,
no,
simp,
you wouldn't even
simp,
acknowledge
simp,
it. You simp.
Simp.
Hold on. I would probably be like, huh, she's into public health.
she probably gets herself checked for STDs. That's something I don't have to worry about.
Yes, you know?
That's
like,
an assumption.
Well, I posed that question to Maggie. I was like, if you were a guy, And because she's the one who showed it to me. She's like a girl I know like posted how she's getting these on her like feed stuff.
That's just kind of funny.
And I was like, if you were a guy and you took a girl home and she was wearing those, what would you do? And she said, I would leave. She was like, I would not say anything.
What?
I would walk out of
if
that
anything,
room.
If anything, I'd feel better because I'd be like, okay, I'm...
But she, like...
I am... You're someone who I can, like, at least... respect. Like let me put it this way. I can
respect somebody who is Dr. Fauci's
name. Let me put it this way. I'd rather... You're right. I probably would think it's very weird. But at the end of the day, I'd rather be with somebody that respects Dr. Fauci than people that dislike Dr. Fauci.
I don't know
Dr.
if
Fauci.
Putting him on your underwear is that respectful.
Can we stop talking about Dr. Fauci?
Not his name. What if it's a picture of him? That's where you have to draw.
I would assume it was a gag gift.
If it's a pic and she wore that on a date with you, I would be insulted for you.
What if your girlfriend I would be like,
it would be like that Jake and Amir skit where it's like, it's laundry day.
Hey, 9 hours late today.
Mondays.
Thursday, and why is your shirt soaking wet?
Laundry day. Ooh, that was hard.
Was hard. Never act like I'm incorrect.
Sorry.
Like, you know what I mean? And it's just kind of like, I guess this was a gag and you ran out of everything. I don't know.
All right.
You'd continue.
I would continue.
Let's stop talking about fake news, Fauci, and let's get along and talk about
Fauci.
How this movie is democratic propaganda to make our children hate America and go and be indoctrinated to go to these liberal colleges so that they can push a Marxist agenda to take the country and the government from its rightful owners, the Christian Republican Party.
I'm going to put a muzzle on you. Let's
The government, Tom Wolf and the government have been putting a muzzle on me for the past 6 months in the form of Chinese-made masks. Dr. Fauci owns shares in Monsanto. And when the vaccine comes out, he's going to be a billionaire because his shares are going to be worth so much he's going to sell them. Because they want you scared. The media?
Are you just repeating tweets?
I'm just doing this. This bit is dead, bro. Something else.
It's as dead as you're going to be if you get the coronavirus vaccine, Owen. That shit will kill you. Look into vaccines, Owen.
Uh-huh.
There's a TED Talk that really opened my eyes.
Okay.
I finally met my first anti-vax person.
First?
No, like my first, dude. I've had a friendship with and then went, oh, you're anti-vax. Interesting.
Good luck getting polio. Anyway... what else? The Thanksgiving. Okay, all right.
Like at Point Park.
Right. Yeah.
You're like, I need alternative medicine, man. Like, I don't need a vaccine. When I got my CBD 1-to-1 THC ratio bud and some crystals that I rub on my armpits every couple hours, they're healing, dude.
I saw on Gwyneth Paltrow's Goop special that I could believe that I am healed and I'll heal me.
You know, your brain...
It only costs $50.
Do you know about the placebo effect? Like, your brain is like a tool, you know? And not a lot of people know that the mind can be used to expel disease from the body.
Your mind... He's right. I learned it from Gwyneth.
Okay, so the Thanksgiving scene was fun.
The Thanksgiving scene was the best.
It was pretty good, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, it was fun. It was kind of like,
climax of confrontation.
Yeah, it's the climax of confrontation, but there's this scene where they're all at the table, and it reminds me of, like, now run with me on this. It kind of reminds me of, like, if you watch, like, Downton Abbey, they, like, passively aggressive stuff.
I can't say that I've ever watched Downton Abbey.
Dude, really? It's a good show.
It's pretty good.
It's a good show. But anyway, it has that like passive aggressive sting. Yeah, sure. Mason.
I'm sorry.
Also, Rachel used the term cock blocking in this movie. That was funny.
Let's talk about the Thanksgiving scene a little bit more.
Okay.
I feel like we kind of.
It's like when the dad
did not like Flynn.
Yeah, the dad didn't like Flynn. Because
that didn't like Chloe, I said.
Oh no, the dad did. Well, because Chloe shows up and she's like Noah's like looks like it's his girlfriend because the night before at the big dance competition, which they won, not a lot of fanfare for that. She just kind of wins $50,000 inside the stable.
How much does Marco get? That's another. I'm gonna continue that point. Probably Marco gets a good chunk of that money. By the end of it, $50,000 plus. That $50,000 is getting taxed.
She can invest it, dude. She can make an Acorn account.
Anyway, I did the math because I feel like it's necessary. Post-tax, that's $35,000. some of that's going to Marco. What that ends up being like 25,000? 25,000.
Marco's such a better dancer. He should get the majority of the money.
Honestly,
let's say she doesn't even split it with Marco. That's 35,000. 35,000 isn't covering probably half of your semester.
That's a lot of money, you privileged
fucker. I'm not saying it's not a lot of money. That would pay for any other school. That would pay for any other school's first year. But look at the tuition costs of Harvard. Look at the people that go to Harvard.
She wasn't going to Harvard. She wanted to go to Boston. Okay.
She did not in competition.
She got to Harvard.
No. Earlier in the movie, they're like, fucking.
It's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
But not
like,
enough.
Well, there's like 30 colleges in Boston. You can go to a different one. You don't have to go to Harvard.
That's why his dad said.
And I'm like, okay, you know what? Good on this movie for acknowledging she can't get into Harvard because she's dumb as shit.
But she got into Harvard.
And then at the end of the movie, she gets into Harvard. I hate it.
With a cliffhanger, though.
Yeah.
Which college is she going to go to?
Let's talk about the rest of the Thanksgiving scene, then we'll talk about the cliffhanger, and then we'll call it.
So all the misunderstandings get revealed.
So all the misunderstandings get revealed. Rachel gets super upset. She does another...
Rightfully so.
Classic Rachel Stormoff, which you know what?
You know what? That
actress was giving it her all.
Okay.
You need to stop.
You tell me I'm overdoing the political science. I'm like, and I'm pretty sure that you're going to go up and look up her Instagram when you get
home. Jesus.
I'm like uncomfortable sitting next
to
you.
No, I was a bit gone wrong. I said a bit gone wrong.
This ain't a bit anymore. You've gone too far.
Dude, it was never a bit for me.
Nah, you simping over her hard, bro. Look, this ain't a bit.
Just admit the fact that like, if Rachel was real, and she, like, Rachel the character, if she came into this room right now, you would fucking...
You'd be drooling at the mouth.
You would actually, like, have to excuse yourself. I'm not even gonna say it.
I want to defend myself on the podcast and be like, I made a couple of jokes about Rachel.
You'd be too... Dude, you'd be way too starstruck. You'd be like,
I think
Rachel, it is an honor to meet you. And she'd be like, Rachel, my name is Megan Young. Megan Young. Fuck, I'm an idiot.
You couldn't read the word Megan? You're an idiot.
M-E-G-A-N-N-E.
I'm sorry, that's not how words work.
My name is Megan, and I know Dr. Fauci.
Okay, that's his name.
It's Fauci. It's
Brad Fauci. Fauci.
It's Fauci.
Brad Fauci.
Fauci.
Brad Fauci.
Fauci.
His name is Dr. Brad Fauci.
Oh my god.
Fauci. Anyway.
What is his real name?
Anyway.
No, he's just trying to get out
Fauci,
and talk about
Megan. Well, no, because he's an actor. You know that, right?
Yeah.
He's Fauci is an actor.
Dude, stop.
They hired a crisis actor. Like, David Hogg is this not real. He's an actor. Okay, guys, I was just doing a bit over here, and Owen said, trim that out. That's unacceptable. You know, the PC police says...
Stop aggressively squeezing your water bottle. I can hear it, and it's uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's going to get picked up on the audio, and people are going to be like, what's
people
that
are
fucking...
Be like, I knew Owen, like, really liked that Rachel. Like, oh, it's not like two of your friends, dude, on an audio recording.
I can't describe you guys enough.
You're getting real pump of the volume on this one.
How much, like... This is getting blown out of proportion.
It's not blown out of proportion.
So the Thanksgiving scene, like, they all fight, and Rachel storms off, and then, like, Noah's like, yeah, I thought I knew a thing or two about lying to you. They're doing that, like, under the breath, passive-aggressive shit, and, like, Noah storms off.
Like in Downton Abbey.
Shut up. And then...
What?
Like,
that's
like,
what it's like.
Lee goes after Rachel, and... They all storm off, and it keeps, like, cutting to, like, the dad's facial expressions. And like, I'm like, at this real Thanksgiving, and I know that I've overdone this bit, but at that real Thanksgiving, he would find a way to interject and be like, well, you know, I like the good ones that come here.
The people that do it right. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
And then he would ostracize everybody at the table.
He would find out, and you know that Lee would start shit with him.
The dad
either
is
Lee or Noah. One of them would be like, you don't know what you're talking about. That's offensive. Do you know how racist that
no,
is?
No, Jake, and Noah would be like, so the thing about Citizens United is...
In my opinion, he needs to, like, sound smart because he goes to Harvard. He's like, well, you know, the thing, like, the dad would be like, I love Citizens United, greatest court decision ever made. He'd be like, the thing about Citizens United is that it had a very large effect on the judiciary system. And I think that our legal system, that's the judiciary system, that's what we call it in the law business, has been affected by the Citizens United decision. And the dad would be like, yeah, yeah, I saw on the internet that the Citizens United decision was part of the deep state in an attempt to assassinate Barron Trump in his middle school.
The dad is just Bluto grown up.
I'm sorry to the dad if he, like, ever finds this and it's just, like...
We don't
like,
want to ruin your
like,
career.
Like, actually has, like, really woke political views. He's like, we need to obliterate capital, man.
Woo!
And you're comparing me to the fucking...
Just this poor actor.
Art cannot thrive under a capitalistic society.
Jesus. This movie. Okay, let's review.
Oh, Lil Marco!
Lil Marco! At about an hour and a half in, I referred to him as Lil Marco, which caused Owen to lose his shit. That was when Marco and Noah almost fought at the homecoming.
Which,
game.
By the way, Noah would kill him.
He would kill him. But if you look at it objectively, Noah is a graduated senior. Marco is a new student who just moved in from out of town. If Noah beats him up, it's at least a felony.
It's assault.
Yes. It's not even like a fight.
We agree with you.
Noah gets into fights in the first one and is like, oh, I'm going to punch you now.
He tackled him.
Yeah, he tackles guys. Oh, you know what's weird? This movie had no drinking.
The first movie
had a lot of drinking.
Maybe that's because it got more popular. No, there was drinking. It was at the college. That was it, though. Not at the high school.
When they're at the college,
there was no high school drinking.
When they're at the college, they drink.
But anyway, they were insulting one another. And one of the insults was like, had something to do with Marco being like smaller or something.
Which he is only slightly smaller.
And then Jake said something along the lines of
Lil Marco.
My
eyes lit up and I was like, it's Lil Marco!
And
if you don't know, our Steve President's nickname for Marco Rubio is Lil Marco. And in that moment, it clicked.
Lil Marco.
Okay, speaking of Marco Rubio.
No, stop.
I got a new haircut. And to describe to you guys what my haircut looks like, it looks like if Jamie Lee Curtis was playing Marco Rubio in a Saturday Night Live sketch.
I actually think the better description that you said is it looks like if Winona Ryder was playing a lesbian.
You're right, though.
That was the better description.
You know what makes me really...
Jake, do your best Winona Ryder impression.
Do it.
What do you mean, do my best Winona Ryder?
Say a line from Alien.
No, I'll do one of her lines from Heather. She's like... Real life sucks, losers dry. But if you want to fuck with the Eagles, you have to learn to fly.
Real life sucks, losers dry. If you want to fuck with the Eagles, you have to learn to fly.
You ever see that movie she was in with Keanu Reeves and he's like, Winona, you're so beautiful. I'm at a loss for words.
Guys, tonight
went from Jake auditioning for NPR to auditioning for The Daily Show to auditioning for SNL.
And to auditioning to be Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
It makes me real. Okay, this is off topic, but it makes me really
if
uncomfortable that
Lee
is.
If they ever make a John Wick video game, right? I could do the voice. You know, like they, because
Keanu's
expensive.
Do the voice.
No, he's not. They're gonna
Keanu's in Cyberpunk.
Yeah, but that's Cyberpunk, dude.
They would do
Keanu's
a John Wick
not,
video
Keanu's
game.
Keanu's like a low budget John Wick
okay,
game.
Okay, you mean like a 2001 tie-in game?
Like they made it in 2013, and like they just never released it, so it has PS3 graphics.
Oh my god!
I could do the voice. I'd be like.
Like the Matrix video game.
He's right. he's like, press. That was the alt-right dad's voice. Sorry, I got them confused. He'd be like, press B to shoot. Press the right. I can't even fucking do it anymore.
If you're out there, and maybe, I don't know, maybe you're looking for someone to do Keanu Reeves' voice.
I'd do it for cheap, dude.
Jake will do it for cheap,
if not free.
Jake, how much would you do
they would
for?
They would do a Matrix reference in the game. He'd be like, not the first time I've been in a simulation. I can't do the voice. I can't do the voice.
It sounds like you're choking on salt.
Anyway, you guys need someone to do Bernie Sanders. This is Bernie Sanders' review of the kissing booth, too.
The millionaires and the billionaires did not want Marco and Elle to get together. They rigged the system against them.
Dude, you gotta stop. You've got to stop.
The millionaires and the ruling class.
No.
They want Noah and Elle to be together because quite frankly, they don't give a cat's katukas.
That's Bernie Sanders was Italian.
Dude,
you're pathetic.
The millionaires and billionaires don't want you to eat this straw pastrami.
You are a sad little man.
Why am I sad?
This just hurts.
I want to be good at an impression, and I think the Bernie one has potential.
You're so weird.
If I got like the right fit for it, like I got
everyone, I feel like being good at an impression.
Did we explain the plot of this movie?
Who cares?
No. But I feel like when you're good at
no plot.
When you're good at an impression, I know personally, I'm just always too scared to share that impression.
Should we talk about like the gay characters?
I don't think it was such a
it was just a random.
It was fine.
What was weird about it was that it was actually like really nice, you know.
But it was also like randomly inserted.
It was kind of randomly inserted.
But it was handled okay.
It wasn't like forced. It wasn't like bad.
It was forced, but it wasn't handled.
What was weird about it was that the person who like makes the guy realize that he's gay is he talks to Elle about it, which is such a weird like. Like, they're not friends. They just, like, run into each other at the beach. And I don't know. It was weird.
It was absolutely weird. It was, like, not... It felt a little bit forced. It was fine, though. It was good. It was fine.
I agree with you, though, that I don't like that she was the one who did that.
It feels very, like, she... I don't know what the right term for this would be. Like, the straight hero. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Exactly. Straight savior.
Yeah, straight savior. Yeah. That's a very good... there you go.
Yeah, that's probably... But I would say for the most part, it just wasn't even detailed enough.
It was great.
It wasn't even detailed enough.
It didn't have anything to do with the plot. I mean, who cares?
I mean, but if we're rating it on the same standard, it was cheesy and bad. Anyway, let's give this movie a grade.
Yeah, absolutely. It was dumb but fun. There was a cool scene where they're playing Miss Pac-Man, so I gotta get that bonus points. They did a shot for... I love Miss Pac-Man.
It's a good game. It's a great game.
It's my dream to own a
Miss
Pac-Man machine.
I would love to own a
Miss Pac-Man
machine.
They show from inside of the machine, so like the it looks like it's through like the glass.
Some real Wreck-It Ralph stuff.
Yeah, the Wreck-It Ralph shit. Gotta say, I found myself getting kind of invested in the characters in a way that it's like...
Ironic.
It started out ironic, and then it was like, oh, shit. Like, if you've ever watched, like, a really shitty, like, soap opera, you just put it on and, like, you're, like, all, like, every fucking 5 minutes, like, I'm the evil twin, or I actually was alive.
But in this movie, it's a, oh, you thought I cheated on you, but I didn't.
And, oh, sure. He tried.
Just give it a grade.
Okay, Owen, do not rush my process, okay? You've been shitting on me all night.
You were like,
stop doing your bit where you're pretending to be a fucking conservative. I'm not allowed to have these beliefs, Owen. Okay. It's not a bit, okay? The radical left wants me to wear a muzzle. They want me to wear the mask to help their...
I quit.
I didn't think I could. No. All right. D minus. I'll give it a D minus.
D minus, really?
Yeah, I give it a D minus.
Okay.
I'm kind of on the same. Okay. Whatever. I'm kind of on the same lane as Jake. I hate that I have to say it, but I like that this movie wasn't offensive. That was nice. And like in like a base format of like what we've watched before, this was probably one of the lesser offensive ones. Yeah, the plot's stupid. It's kind of like a bad soap opera. D minus two. Like, okay. Honestly, I can't give it an F because it didn't make me feel like when I watched
it.
It's ironically enjoyable.
I think just for passing the litmus test, which is like, how problematic can it be? Like it just passes that litmus test. So automatically, it's not an F to me because, like,
yeah,
when an F means that you fucking failed that test, but they passed that test, and I'm gonna say the writing is pretty damn bad, but overall it was fine, and I laughed during it, probably ironically. See, it's hard to grade it.
What was ironic and what was good?
Yeah,
the whole thing is a weird. Like, everything about it is, like, really surreal. Like, it feels like four movies, like, crammed in one.
Yeah. I feel like if I watched this alone, I would want to die, though.
Yeah.
You could not watch this alone.
You couldn't watch
it. If you watched this alone and, like...
And I think for that reason, that's why I'm going to make my grade probably, like, a D, maybe a D+.
You got to give it one.
I'll give it a D. Just because the first movie's so bad and it's, like, knowing that... We might have to watch the third one of this.
We are going to have to watch the third one. 2021, baby. I'll see you then. Let's talk about the cliffhanger.
So she gets acceptance letters from both UCLA, both Berkeley and Harvard. Right. Sound off in the comments which one you would pick. But
I would pick Harvard.
Because of the name creds, bro.
Yeah, I know. Harvard. Even if tuition was like...
It's Harvard.
It's Harvard.
It's Harvard.
Even if tuition, like
oh, and their dorms have Harvard. Fireplaces.
Yeah, we never talked about his dorm room in Harvard. Okay. Is two rooms. It has a fucking fireplace.
Anyway, she has to pick which one that she's going to go to. This podcast is running long, so
who cares
we're going
what
to.
I don't care.
So
watch the third when it comes all right, out.
We'll watch it. Hey,
I think that she
thank
should
you.
Go to Harvard.
So much
like,
for
like,
listening.
Cool, like, no irony. Like, she should go to Harvard. Because it's Harvard.
Yeah,
when Optimus
sure.
Prime
third,
got accepted
so
into UC Berkeley, I was so excited.
I have a question. Is the third movie going to be just, like, 2.5 hours of her being like, should I go to Harvard or UC Berkeley? Or is it going to be like, she makes that decision in the first, like, 2 minutes?
I hope 2 minutes, but if it's the entire plot,
well,
I think I'll die.
If you worked on this movie and have any inside scoops on the third one,
let us know.
Hit us up. We'd love to have
you
on the show. We can talk shop.
Oh,
yes.
And if you're listening, a girl who played Rachel, if you're listening, please contact Owen.
Uh-huh. Hey, girl who played Rachel, make sure you're not wearing a mask because breathing in CO2.
Shut the fuck up.
Shut
the
really
fuck up.
Right.
Shut the fuck up. It's over.
Thank you, everybody,
wait,
so much for listening.
Else. I wanted to say something else.
What's up?
He can't remember.
I'm going to remember. I just had it in my brain. Oh yeah, Noah looks like, I started laughing when I realized this in the movie and I like couldn't get this out. Now I'm not going to be able to get this out loud. Noah looks like if Bruce Banner got stuck halfway turning into the Hulk. Like just the way he talks, he's like, L, you... Go to Harvard. apply to Harvard now.
That's a great place to end it. Thank you so much
for
listening.
Please,
like, follow,
hey, please like, follow.
Don't subscribe because you can't.
Oh, I'm suspended from Twitter, but when I'm back, I will be tweeting out another poll.
Yeah.
Make sure you vote in that.
Tweet at Jake. Leave a review on iTunes if you can. Thank you so much
next
for listening.
Week, the infallible Adam Chaplin will be back.
Yes. It's so damn hard. Yeah, it's so damn hard. Yeah, it's so damn hard. Yeah, it's so damn hard. Alright, yes.
I think that was a good episode. Do you guys think I overdid it with the whole, like, conservative?
Yes!
It's
no,
just that, like,
no, I think it was completely fucking called for. And I think everybody who's listening to this episode who's not politically invested is going to love it.
It's just that like the
and
dad,
then the Bernie Sanders impression, Jake, spot fucking
on. It was a good impression. All right,
thank you so much for listening.
The millionaires and the billionaires.
Thank you so much for listening. Bernie Sanders, why don't you take us out?
Oh, and look, it's Rachel.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Higher Education. Follow us on Spotify. Like and give us a review. Give them a review on Apple Podcasts. You don't love me at all.
do you guys think I overdid it?
Pause it.
No, like, I need a legitimate
answer. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Jake. Yeah.
Yeah, you overdid it.
Dude, stop.
All I can think of is the fact.
How do I stop this podcast? Jake, I'm going to go around you and stop this podcast.
You guys ever listen to this? You guys remember that song that's like, nice guys finish last, that's why I'll
bye everybody, I'm stopping this podcast. Is that how you stop it?
Just press
the millionaires
don't
and the billionaires.
He's gonna delete it all.
How do you not know it's butter? Don't love me at all. Don't think that it bothers me at all.